The Changtang is a rolling upland that stretches across the northern part of the Tibetan Plateau in China. It's one of the least known places on Earth, a sweeping wilderness 16,000 feet high, punctuated with glacial peaks. Field biologist George Schaller has been studying this region for more than 20 years. You might be familiar with his world-famous research on mountain gorillas of Central Africa, the lions of the Serengeti, the snow leopards of Nepal, and the pandas of Bolong, China. Now 73, the intrepid Dr. Schaller's most recent expedition took him to the Changtang again, this time in search of another creature, the Tibetan antelope, or Chiru.
Chiru are beautiful. The males have black faces, a light tan coat, and horns that rise straight up for 2 feet. They weigh about 90 pounds as compared to the females, which weigh around 60 pounds and are hornless. China has made them a mascot for the 2008 Olympics. But Chiru have one disadvantage. They have the finest wool in the world. During the late 1980s and 1990s, they were mass slaughtered by poachers who sold the wool to India to make chartreuse shawls for the world's luxury market. Fortunately, this illegal trade has now been much reduced. Indeed, in some areas, Chiru seem to be on the increase again. But I wondered, how many Chiru and other species remained in the most desolate northern part of the region in winter? It was a gap in knowledge that I was eager to fill. The last time anyone crossed the Changtang from west to east was in 1896. And that was in summer. This winter, our team of 14 Tibetan and Han Chinese and I made a great traverse of the region. We drove 1,000 miles cross-country without seeing another person. It was cold, getting down to 25 below zero at night, and a fierce wind often swept over the landscape. But in this seemingly barren country, we were surprised by how much wildlife we encountered and were delighted to count about 8,000 Chiru. It was a hopeful sign for the future. We also saw 1,000 wild yaks, an animal much more rare than a Chiru. We recorded 22 wolves. Several had probably never seen a person before. They showed little fear, and one even visited camp. After crossing this huge uninhabited area, we continued eastward into a region occupied by Tibetan nomads and their livestock. Wildlife was scarcer there, and some rangelands were degraded by overgrazing. We talked about wildlife and conservation with the nomads in their homes and at community gatherings. It was tremendously heartening for me to learn that several communities have begun to protect wildlife and rangelands on their own initiative. They have even set aside areas for wildlife in which grazing of livestock is forbidden. The teaching of their Buddhist religion, combined with a keen ecological insight, has helped these people realize that their future, their livelihood, depends on treating this land with respect and compassion. One nomad told me, "A rangeland without animals would not be a healthy one." In such grassroots effort lie the future of conservation, not just on the Tibetan Plateau, but everywhere.
Dr. George Schaller's research trip was funded by the National Geographic Society and the Wildlife Conservation Society. To see photos of his expedition to the Changtang, including one of the Tibetan antelope, trek to our website, loe.org. They're hungry and hairy and clearing out the fridge. According to a recent newspaper headline in South Africa, adventurous baboons are getting too close for comfort.
They're not domestic animals. It's not like having a cat or a dog. A baboon is a wild animal, and he lives accordingly. And if you get in his way, if you get in the way, and if you corner a big male, he's going to go for you.
Battling baboons on the streets of Cape Town, next week on Living on Earth. Living on Earth is produced by the World Media Foundation. Our crew includes Ashley Ahern, Eileen Balinski, Ian Gray, Ingrid Lobet, Emily Taylor, Peter Thompson, and Jeff Young, with help from Bobby Bascom and Kelly Cronin. Our interns are Paige Doty and Megan Vigen. Dennis Foley is our technical director. Allison Lirish-Dean composed our themes. Our executive producer is Steve Kerwood. You can find us at loe.org. I'm Bruce Gellerman. Thanks for listening.
Funding for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation, supporting coverage of emerging science, and Stonyfield Farm, organic yogurt and smoothies. Stonyfield pays its farmers not to use artificial growth hormones on their cows. Details at stonyfield.com. Support also comes from you, our listeners, the Ford Foundation, the Educational Foundation of America, and the Saunders Hotel Group of Boston's Lenox and Copley Square Hotels, serving you and the environment while helping preserve the past and protect the future. 800-225-7676.
PRI, Public Radio International.